but because I have had mercy upon you. If you have it not and feel rather dry instead, continue in prayer, sigh and knock, and do not give up until you receive some crumb of saving grace. If you have need of me, I do not need you. You do not come to sanctify me, but I come to sanctify you and make you better. You come to be sanctified and united with me, to receive new grace, and to be aroused anew to amend. Do not neglect this grace, but prepare your heart with all care, and bring into it your beloved. Not only should you prepare devoutly before communion, but you should also carefully keep yourself in devotion after receiving the sacrament. The careful custody of yourself afterward is no less necessary than the devout preparation before. For a careful afterwatch is the best preparation for obtaining greater grace. If a person lets his mind wander to external comforts, he becomes quite indisposed. Beware of much talking. Remain in seclusion and enjoy your God, for you have him whom all the world cannot take from you. I am he to whom you should give yourself entirely, that from now on you may live, not in yourself, but in me, with all cares cast away. The 13th chapter. With all her heart, the devout soul should desire union with Christ in the sacrament. The disciple. Let it be granted me to find you alone, O Christ, to open to you my whole heart, to enjoy you as my soul desires, to be disturbed by no one, to be moved and troubled by no creature, that you may speak to me and I to you alone, as a lover speaks to his loved one and friend converses with friend. I pray for this, I desire this, that I may be completely united to you and may withdraw my heart from all created things, learning to relish the celestial and the eternal through Holy Communion and the frequent celebration of Mass. O Lord God, when shall I be completely united to you and absorbed by you, with self utterly forgotten, you in me and I in you? Grant that we may remain so together. You in truth are my beloved, chosen from thousands, in whom my soul is happy to dwell all the days of her life. You are in truth my pledge of peace, in whom is the greatest peace and true rest, without whom there is toil and sorrow and infinite misery. You truly are the hidden God. Your counsel is not with the wicked, and your conversation is rather with the humble and the simple. Oh, how kind is your spirit, Lord, who in order to show your sweetness toward your children, deign to feed them with the sweetest of bread, bread come down from heaven. Surely there is no other people so fortunate as to have their God near them, as you, our God, are present everywhere to the faithful, to whom you give yourself to be eaten and enjoyed for their daily solace and the raising of their hearts to heaven. Indeed, what other nation is so renowned as the Christian peoples? What creature under heaven is so favored as the devout soul to whom God comes to feed her with his glorious flesh? O unspeakable grace, O wonderful condescension! O love beyond measure, singularly bestowed upon man! What return shall I make to the Lord for this love, this grace so boundless? There is nothing I can give more pleasing than to offer my heart completely to my God, uniting it closely with his. Then shall all my inner self be glad when my soul is perfectly united with God. Then will he say to me, "If you will be with me, I will be with you." And I will answer him, "Deign, O Lord, to remain with me. I will gladly be with you. This is my one desire, that my heart may be united with you." The 14th chapter. The ardent longing of devout men for the body of Christ. The disciple. How great is the abundance of your kindness, O Lord, which you have hidden from those who fear you. When I think how some devout persons come to your sacrament with the greatest devotion and love, I am frequently ashamed and confused that I approach your altar and the table of Holy Communion so coldly and indifferently, that I remain so dry and devoid of heartfelt affection, that I am not completely inflamed in your presence, O my God, nor so strongly drawn and attracted as many devout persons who, in their great desire for communion and intense heart love, could not restrain their tears but longed from the depths of their souls and bodies to embrace you, the fountain of life. These were able to appease and allay their hunger in no other way than by receiving your body with all joy and spiritual eagerness. The faith of these men was true and ardent, convincing proof of your sacred presence. They whose hearts burn so ardently within them when Jesus lives with them truly know their Lord in the breaking of bread. Such affection and devotion, such mighty love and zeal are often far beyond me. Be merciful to me, O sweet, good, kind Jesus, and grant me, your poor suppliant, sometimes at least to feel, in holy communion, a little of the tenderness of your love, that my faith may grow stronger, that my hope in your goodness may increase, and that charity, once perfectly kindled within me by tasting heavenly manna, may never fail. Your mercy can give me the grace I long for and can visit me most graciously with fervor of soul, according to your good pleasure. For although I am not now inflamed with as great desire as those who are singularly devoted to you, yet by your grace I long for this same great flame, praying and seeking a place among all such ardent lovers that I may be numbered among their holy company. The 15th chapter. The grace of devotion is acquired through humility and self-denial. The voice of Christ. You must seek earnestly the grace of devotion. Ask for it fervently, await it patiently and hopefully. Receive it gratefully, guard it humbly, cooperate with it carefully, and leave to God, when it comes, the length and manner of the heavenly visitation. When you feel little or no inward devotion, you should especially humiliate yourself, but do not become too dejected or unreasonably sad. In one short moment, God often gives what he has long denied. At times he grants at the end what he has denied from the beginning of prayer. If grace were always given at once or were present at our beck and call, it would not be well taken by weak humankind. Therefore, with good hope and humble patience, await the grace of devotion. When it is not given, or for some unknown reason is taken away, blame yourself and your sins. Sometimes it is a small matter that hinders grace and hides it, if indeed that which prevents so great a good may be called little rather than great. But if you remove this hindrance, be it great or small, and if you conquer it perfectly, you shall have what you ask. As soon as you have given yourself to God with all your heart and seek neither this nor that for your own pleasure and purpose, but place yourself completely in his charge, you shall find yourself at peace, united with him, because nothing will be so sweet, nothing will please you so much as the good pleasure of his will. Anyone, therefore, who shall with simplicity of heart direct his intention to God, and free himself from all inordinate love or dislike for any creature, will be most fit to receive grace and will be worthy of the gift of devotion. For where the Lord finds the vessel empty, he pours down his blessing. So also, the more perfectly a man renounces things of this world, and the more completely he dies to himself through contempt of self, the more quickly this great grace comes to him, and the more plentifully it enters in, and the higher it uplifts the free heart. Then shall he see and abound, then shall his heart marvel and be enlarged within him, because the hand of the Lord is with him, and in the hollow of that hand he has placed himself forever. Thus shall a man be blessed who seeks God with all his heart and has not regarded his soul in vain. Such a one, receiving the Holy Eucharist, merits the grace of divine union, because he looks not on his own thoughts, nor to his own comfort, but above all devotion and consolation, to the glory and honor of God. The 16th chapter. We should show our needs to Christ and ask his grace. The disciple. O most kind, most loving Lord, whom I now desire to receive with devotion, you know the weakness and the necessity which I suffer, in what great evils and vices I am involved, how often I am depressed, tempted, defiled, and troubled. To you I come for help. To you I pray for comfort and relief. I speak to him who knows all things, to whom my whole inner life is manifest, and who alone can perfectly comfort and help me. You know what good things I am most in need of, and how poor I am in virtue. Behold, I stand before you, poor and naked, asking your grace and imploring your mercy. Feed your hungry beggar. Inflame my coldness with the fire of your love. Enlighten my blindness with the brightness of your presence. Turn all earthly things to bitterness for me, all grievance and adversity to patience, all lowly creation to contempt and oblivion. Raise my heart to you in heaven, and suffer me not to wander on earth. From this moment to all eternity do you alone grow sweet to me, for you alone are my food and drink, my love and my joy, my sweetness and my total good. Let your presence wholly inflame me, consume and transform me into yourself, that I may become one spirit with you by the grace of inward union and by the melting power of your ardent love. Suffer me not to go from you fasting and thirsting, but deal with me mercifully, as you have so often and so wonderfully dealt with your saints. What wonder if I were completely inflamed by you to die to myself, since you are the fire ever burning and never dying, a love purifying the heart and enlightening the understanding. The 17th chapter. The burning love and strong desire to receive Christ. The disciple. With greatest devotion and ardent love, with all affection and fervor of heart, I wish to receive you, O Lord, as many saints and devout persons, most pleasing to you in their holiness of life, and most fervent in devotion, desired you in holy communion. O my God, everlasting love, my final good, my happiness unending, I long to receive you with as strong a desire and as worthy a reverence as any of the saints ever had or could have felt. And though I am not worthy to have all these sentiments of devotion, still I offer you the full affection of my heart, as if I alone had all those most pleasing and ardent desires. Yet, whatever a God-fearing mind can conceive and desire, I offer in its entirety to you, with the greatest reverence and inward affection. I wish to keep nothing for self but to offer to you, willingly and most freely, myself and all that is mine. O Lord God, my Creator and my Redeemer, I long to receive you this day with such reverence, praise, and honor, with such gratitude, worthiness, and love, with such faith, hope, and purity, as that with which your most holy mother, the glorious Virgin Mary, longed for and received you, when she humbly and devoutly answered the angel who announced to her the mystery of the Incarnation. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Footnote 52, Luke 1:38. Likewise, as your blessed precursor, the most excellent of saints, John the Baptist, gladdened by your presence, exalted in the Holy Ghost, while yet enclosed in the womb of his mother, and afterwards seeing Jesus walking among men, humbled himself with devout love, declared, "The friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth with joy because of the bridegroom's voice." Footnote 53. John 3:29. Even so I long to be inflamed with great and holy desires, and to give myself to you with all my heart. Therefore I offer and present to you the gladness of all devout hearts, their ardent affection, their mental raptures, their supernatural illuminations and heavenly visions, together with all the virtues and praises which have been or shall be celebrated by all creatures in heaven and on earth. For myself and all commended to my prayers, that you may be worthily praised and glorified forever. Accept, O Lord my God, my promises and desires of giving you infinite praise and boundless benediction, which in the vastness of your ineffable greatness are justly due you. This I render and desire to render every day and every moment of time, and in my loving prayers I invite and entreat all celestial spirits and all the faithful to join me in giving you praise and thanks. Let all people, races, and tongues praise you, and with the greatest joy and most ardent devotion, magnify your sweet and holy name. And let all who reverently and devoutly celebrate this most great sacrament, and receive it in the fullness of faith, find kindness and mercy in you, and humbly pray for me, a sinner. And when they have received the longed-for devotion and blissful union, and, well-consoled and wonderfully refreshed, have retired from your holy, your celestial table, may they deign to remember my poor soul. The 18th chapter. Man should not scrutinize his sacrament in curiosity, but humbly imitate Christ and submit reason to holy faith. The voice of Christ. Beware of curious and vain examination of this most profound sacrament, if you do not wish to be plunged into the depths of doubt. He who scrutinizes its majesty too closely will be overwhelmed by its glory. God can do more than man can understand. A pious and humble search for truth he will allow, a search that is ever ready to learn and that seeks to walk in the reasonable doctrine of the fathers. Blessed is the simplicity that leaves the difficult way of dispute and goes forward on the level, firm path of God's commandments. Many have lost devotion because they wish to search into things beyond them. Faith is required of you, and a sincere life, not a lofty intellect nor a delving into the mysteries of God. If you neither know nor understand things beneath you, how can you comprehend what is above you? Submit yourself to God and humble reason to faith, and the light of understanding will be given you so far as it is good and necessary for you. Some are gravely tempted concerning faith and the sacrament, but this disturbance is not laid to them, but to the enemy. Be not disturbed, dispute not in your mind, answer not the doubts sent by the devil, but believe the words of God, believe his saints and prophets, and the evil enemy will flee from you. It is often very profitable for the servant of God to suffer such things, for Satan does not tempt unbelievers and sinners whom he already holds securely, but in many ways he does tempt and trouble the faithful servant. Go forward, then, with sincere and unflinching faith, and with humble reverence approach this sacrament. Whatever you cannot understand, commit to the security of the all-powerful God, who does not deceive you. The man, however, who trusts in himself is deceived. God walks with sincere men, reveals himself to humble men, enlightens the understanding of pure minds, and hides his grace from the curious and the proud. Human reason is weak and can be deceived. True faith, however, cannot be deceived. All reason and natural science ought to come after faith, not go before it, nor oppose it. For in this most holy and supremely excellent sacrament, faith and love take precedence and work in a hidden manner. God, eternal, incomprehensible, and infinitely powerful, does great and inscrutable things in heaven and on earth, and there is no searching into his marvelous works. If all the works of God were such that human reason could easily grasp them, they would not be called wonderful or beyond the power of words to tell.